Well, happy Friday, everyone. We got a great weekend ahead of us, I think, and that should include some time spent with our local congregation, our local church family. If you don't have a church family, find one. Be active there with service and praise and prayer and soaking up the word and encouraging each other to love and good deeds and being encouraged in that way. If you don't have a church home and you're actively looking right now and you happen to be within the driving distance of the Elkhart East building, we invite you to come on over and check us out and consider us as a potential place to settle down and call home. We're in the book of Proverbs. We're working our way through this plethora of Proverbs. Each one is intended to be easily memorized so that an improvement in attitude and action can happen. These are targeted for adolescents and for those who are not yet mature in their way of thinking. And so my encouragement is have a little notebook where you can write down the references for any Proverbs that you think might help you to grow up better in the Lord's Word, or where you can help somebody else kind of memorize a proverb to help them in their weak spot. And with no further ado, let's dive back into these. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 21. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Now, right off the bat, we have to have our little reminder that these are rule of thumb. They are couched in the time period of Solomon, where this was the majority reality. If you were a righteous person living in this righteous period, typically bad things were not happening to you. But if you were one of the rare wicked ones, yeah, you got in trouble. We know that this is not a guarantee that nothing bad ever happens to good people. This is just a reminder that if things are moving along the way God wants them to move along, that's going to be the typical way. But even in the midst of me giving this warning, I remind you of 1 Corinthians 10:13. That no time of testing has come upon any of us except that which is common to everybody else, all of humanity. And God is faithful, meaning he can be trusted in that he will not allow us to be tested beyond what we are able, but with that testing will provide a way of escape that we can endure it. So it is a way of ensuring that no permanent ill can befall the righteous. We'll always be able to get on the other side with God's help. And then, of course, ultimately, when this all wraps up with the second coming of Jesus, it's only the wicked they're going to be filled with trouble. The righteous will be sitting pretty, as we say. Verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to he who is. Makes God sick. But those who act faithfully are his delight. Makes God happy. So when we speak the truth in love, that makes God happy. When we lie about other people, that makes God sick to his stomach. So which should we be doing? That should be obvious. Verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Now, the wording here is a little bit difficult, I think, for our mindset today. It's not talking about a prudent person keeping top secret information, hiding things from people. It's the idea he keeps his mouth shut when he's aware of something that's going on in somebody else's life. He keeps it private. Fools, the people who reject ultimate authority, they just blurt out stuff. They talk about doing stupid things and encouraging other people to engage in stupid things. We got to be wise. We got to be prudent and choose to do the right things. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Another rule of thumb thing, but also one of our anti-lazy passages. Remember that adolescents are famously avoiding work. I always think back to my teenage years, my early teenage and just pre-teenage years, when I tried to figure out how to not do except the absolute minimum of work around the house. Bad Thomas. Not the right thing. Slothful people in Solomon's time typically ended up getting themselves in trouble with the authorities. And one of the resolutions that were done by judges at that time for lazy people was they had to go onto a work crew. They had to go and work whether they liked it or not. Now, they probably didn't do a chain gang, but yeah, they still put in a hard day's work whether they liked it or not. While the people that were, you know, doing the right thing, they were usually the supervisors and such. Because if you do well at a job, sooner or later, you're likely to be promoted until you're the one overseeing other people doing that job. So the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful are going to end up being put to the forced labor. Verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Boy, ain't that true. When we've got things bothering us, we just feel blah. We just feel physically slow and impeded. But a good word makes him glad. See, that this is an encouragement that when we see someone that's all upset and worried and concerned and it's really weighing on them, we need to go and encourage them. See if there's anything that we can do to help. Because that will make them glad to know that somebody cares and somebody actually wants to help. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, this one really frustrates me. There were a couple of incidents in recent history where people thought it was funny to give bad guidance and instruction and directions to people, so they ended up going to the wrong place. They ended up going to a wrong destination. They get lost. They end up not being where they're supposed to be. And the people thought it was funny to do that. That's not funny. That's wicked. The way of the wicked leads people astray. It's a righteous person that wants to help people out. I use this personal illustration. I happened to be in Washington, D.C. for a Christian conference at the same time that there was a great big Code Pink sort of get-together, and they had a big demonstration. Now, of course, I don't agree with Code Pink stuff. But after I'd finished with my stuff and they'd finished with their stuff, I happened to be face-to-face with somebody all dressed up in their Code Pink stuff, and they went, I don't know where I'm at. Where's the bus station or the train station, whatever it was? It was a station they needed to get to. I need to get there before it's too late. Now, do you know what I did? I helped them find their way, because that's the righteous thing. That's the right thing to do. It would not have been appropriate to give them false directions just because it'd be funny, because they're my enemy. I'm using air quotes when I say that, by the way. So let's be God's people all the time and understand God doesn't think it's funny to give bad assistance to those that really need someone to care about them. Verse number 27. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game. Meaning he's too lazy to even cook his food. But the diligent man will get precious wealth. Now, there's not a parallel between making dinner here. It's just the idea of if you stick with it and do the hard work, you will have what you need in life. But if you're too lazy to cook your food and just eat it raw, that's pretty lazy. Verse 28, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. See, there is a way that leads to life, eternal life, where there is no second death threat to those who have been saved by the word of God. And so that's what this proverb is encouraging us to stick to, the path of righteousness. Chapter 13, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now, in the Hebrew language, the idea of hearing carried with it the idea of obedience. So that is part of the context here. A wise son obeys his father's instruction. But a scoffer, a person who, he's the same as a fool. He thinks that he doesn't need outside advice, that he has everything he needs in himself. Nobody's the boss of him. He won't listen when somebody tells him, hey, that's not the right way. That's not the way you do that. And of course, that's a disobedience of instructions, and that never ends well, does it? Verse 2. From the fruit of his mouth, a man eats what is good, but the desire of the treacherous is for violence. Now, the fruit of the mouth is what you say to other people, trying to help them out. That's going to be good. That's going to be beneficial. And guess what? There is a boomerang effect. If you do good to others, those other people will very often do good things to you. It's the sort of karma thing that some people refer to in a loose form. But there are some people out there, foolish people, treacherous people, that all they care about is getting their own way. And they don't try to work things out with other people. They just shove to the front of the line. They believe that might makes right, that if I can do it, then I'm going to do it. And that's not to be emulated. Certainly Solomon was trying to teach his sons, don't be that guy. Verse 3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. We had a similar proverb earlier that basically said that, you know, a fool invites a beating. You know, you need to keep your mouth in check. Think before you speak. Think about the consequences that might come from the words that roll off your tongue. Because it may bring you physical trouble. Certainly it can bring you spiritual trouble to pop off without thinking. So that's definitely a young person thing, an immature person thing that needs work. Verse 4, the soul of the sluggard, you know, the lazy guy, craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So lazy people may talk about what they want, but if they're not doing anything about it, they don't typically end up with it. But people who apply themselves in life, who have a good solid work ethic, which is part of what we're talking about here, they end up meeting their needs, plus a little bit extra. Verse 5, The righteous hates falsehood. Remember, the word hate is the opposite of love. And in the context of Scripture, love is about commitment. Therefore, hate is about non-commitment. So righteous people are not committed to falsehood. They don't believe that's the right way to go, so they won't do it. So the righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. See, they don't hate falsehood. If they think it'll help them out, they'll do it. But in the long run, it brings shame and disgrace, particularly when God comes calling with judgment. Verse 6, righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but sin overthrows the wicked. So doing the right thing kind of protects us in living our lives. Because if you do the right thing, typically it should work well. But sinful people, they end up being the victims of their own bad choices. I think all of us know people that fall into that category. Verse 7, one pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. That's we got a lot of con artists out there that try that garbage. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. Now, that's a weird one, but we're all aware that there are some people that fall into that category. It's weird, from time to time we hear these stories about people, often for some reason they seem to be hoarders. They were living in an old house, they had hardly any contact with people around them, they had junk that they were saving, you know, empty food containers and wrappers in their house, piles and piles of newspapers and stuff like that. And everybody like, well, there's something wrong with these people. They've got issues. Maybe the problem is they're poor. And then the people die and you find out they're a multimillionaire. It's like, what? What's that about? Usually there was some sort of mental illness that was involved in it. But Solomon, I think, kind of brings out the idea here that appearances can be deceiving. You need to really get to know a person to really understand who they are. Verse number 8. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. Now it's a way of expressing this idea that rich people are the ones that can be kidnapped and sold back for a big ransom. But poor people, why would you kidnap a poor person for ransom? That's not going to do any good. And so it's just a statement of reality that poor people have less concerns about threats on their wealth status. Verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. A little bit of imagery in your mind. You can picture a little lamp with its flickering flame on the front of it. You know, this is one of those oil lamps. Well, metaphorically, that's like the light of righteousness in a person. It's just flickering out there, throwing light everywhere so that people can walk in that light, not be in darkness. But wicked people, God snuffs that light out because it's misleading, it is detrimental, and God can't allow the light of such wicked people to continue misleading people the wrong way. Verse 10, by insolence, you know, this idea of I can do whatever I want, right? By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. We've seen this several times now, that being self-centeredly stubborn and thinking you don't need anybody else to tell you what to do or how to do it, it's going to cause you trouble, because each one of us by ourselves only have a certain amount of information, only a certain amount of experience. If we accept advice and input from other people, we broaden the base of information that we can act upon. And we will have a higher likelihood of making a good choice. So Solomon's trying to encourage his kids, and by extension us, to get other opinions, get other bits and pieces of advice on the things that come up in front of you. Don't be self-centered and stubborn that you have to make decisions only on your own information. Verse 11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. So it's kind of a bit of advice to not try to get rich quick. You know, there's a lot of people that try the get rich quick schemes that are out there. They get stuff in their email box, or they get stuff that they see online. And they think, oh, if I just do that, I can be a multimillionaire by the end of the month. Yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true. And so the better choice, if you want to have enough, is to follow the advice of the old fable, slow and steady wins the race. Do your work, do your job, responsibly use your paycheck, and you will eventually have more than what you need. Verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Yeah, if things are continually out of our reach, it really frustrates us. But when we see something finally happen, that replenishes our hope. And that's what he's talking about, is it makes us happy. It brings back to us life. And the idea that we think there probably is light at the end of the tunnel. Verse 13, whoever despises the word, think about the word of God here, brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. So blowing God's word off is going to bring nothing but trouble. Applying yourself to it, modifying your actions based upon the wise advice of God's word, that is going to be rewarded over time. Verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Fountain of life, I think we can all connect that to the water of life that was in the Garden of Eden, or the water of the River of Eden, which in the book of Revelation shows back up again as the water of life. When we hear wise people teaching, that has the same effect on us. It gives us life and gives us hope, and it helps us to not get caught up in, well, as it says here, the snares of death. The troublemaking angel, Satan, and all of his compatriots, they hate humanity, and they've been setting traps for us ever since day one. And so God's wise words help us avoid his schemes. Verse 15, good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous is their ruin. So having a good way of thinking and advising people along those lines, that's going to bring a good relationship into place. But choosing to try to trick people, choosing to try to take advantage of people, that's going to eventually boomerang. Sooner or later, you will get caught in that. Or somebody else will do the same thing to you. Verse 16, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. So prudent people think before they act. They get advice before they act. But the self-centered fool, the guy that thinks that there's nobody in charge of his life except himself, he ends up proving that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. So you got messengers going from point A to point B, and messengers that are not focused on their job might end up getting lost or getting captured. But a faithful envoy that stays on task ends up getting where they belong, delivering the message, and very often that's going to bring healing to the situation. I think we got time for this last one. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, you know, blows off God's word, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. If we learn from God's word, we're much more likely to be approved by God. We'll get back to this next time God gives us time into his word.